Have you ever heard the expression OMG? No one? I'll have to explain it to you if you haven't. OMG means, oh my goodness. Actually, I think our culture knows it as oh my God. I'm going to step you here so the lightning, no, just kidding. We just read scripture that talks about misusing the name of the Lord and using it well. OMG has become such a mainstream word now that when you use the word OMG, it means it's an exclamation of surprise or shock or anger. And so when something striking happens or is said or you're experienced, you just, OMG. Generally, you text it. But some people just have gone to say, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And it's become colloquial and it's become something that slips off the tip of one's tongue. For example, some of the things that we prayed for today, we're talking about the pipelines and some of the things that just actually caused our nation to grind to a halt with respect to transportation. And that was an OMG moment, and people were freaking out. Our prime minister sent a minister to take charge of things and to hopefully open up conversation. When I shared last week that Charlene and I have made a decision to go back to Calgary, that, for some of you, was an OMG moment. And we wanted to make sure that we were hearing from the people around us well. We also wanted to make sure that we were listening to God well and not just something that was happening inside us. We found these past 18 years just to be such a privilege of sharing life with all of you. And you loving us, and we being able to serve in our different ways. But this OMG moment wasn't a moment of misusing God's name. When we came to the Lord, we weren't saying, oh my God. We were saying, as the scriptures would say, for those who call upon the name of the Lord, he will hear. He will come. And so for us, this moment, I think collectively, both as a church and for us as a family, that moment has been one of prayer and one of submission to God, saying, Lord, lead us, especially this morning as you prayed and said, there's still much to do. Al, living in the here but not yet, that was brilliant. As I prayed earlier today, again, the end of July is not far away from us, and yet it's still a considerable amount of time between now and then, and there's much work to be done. So let's focus on that as God continues to call us. Let's lean in to where he's leading, and let us continue to experience life together in joy, despite the challenges that are going to come our way. In today's passage, we're going to talk a little bit about how God is often misrepresented and how often his name is misused, i.e., OMG, and that God does not take that lightly. We're going to be pointing our way towards Lent, which begins in March, when we'll explore Jesus' I Am declarations in the Gospel of John. So I look forward to sharing about that later. So if we've ever had a bad experience with church or faith, my hope is that today's message will help us move forward in our joy of knowing God. God says to us, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless, anyone who misuses his name. I can't but think about the common use of swearing in our Western culture. The way in which we use a person's name says a great deal about what we actually think about that person. The way in which God's name is so commonly abused in our culture, I think, says a great deal about what we, as a culture, collectively think about God. I was really quite surprised to discover what the name Jesus Christ has come to mean. Now, if you check a dictionary, it'll give you both the meaning of the word, but also the definitions, right, in the order of current use. That's the interesting part. And you may be surprised, as I was, of what I found in the concise Oxford English Dictionary. Jesus is listed first as an exclamation of surprise, shock, or anger. Thankfully, it also gives us a little warning for those who want to use it that way, that some people might consider that use offensive. The second listing is as a noun, the man believed by his religious followers to be the Son of God. Christianity is based on his life and his teachings. Very interesting indeed. I think that this says a great deal about where our culture is at these days. I'm talking about the West in general. At the first definition, the meaning of the name Jesus is an expletive, an expression or an exclamation of shock or surprise or anger. How sad but true it is today. Exodus 20, verse 7 says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." So for anyone who really loves God, we want to see that his name is held in its highest honor. So I want to point out that this verse involves more than the issue of just swearing. This verse also addresses one of the great issues of our time and one of the great struggles of our life. We live in an advertising culture that has gotten used to the idea of celebrity endorsements. Think of any well-known product, and I wonder if you could think of a celebrity that is associated to that particular brand. Some of us can name some of these celebrities that are on the slides right before us without even naming the brand, but we would think of the brand when we see their face. Advertisers have caught on to this, okay? And if you can get one of these big-name celebrities to endorse a product that you want to sell, you're on your way to a major monetary success. Now, there is no bigger name in all the universe than the name of Yahweh, who is, as we've just studied these last 4 weeks, the wonderful counselor, the Almighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, as listed in Isaiah. In other words, this is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our triune God whom we worship. There is no bigger name than Yahweh. So it's no surprise that throughout the history of the world, people have often tried to attach God's name to their particular cause. Now that would be a major endorsement. And to use his name as a kind of endorsement or advertisement for what they're trying to say or do, because it's quite influential, God's name. Right now in the international scene, that is one of the world's biggest struggles. It might be as easy to point our fingers at ISIS and other Muslim extremists, for instance. But the sad reality is that we only have to go back into our history books in the West and see that the problem is quite closer to home than we might think, because Western history is littered with acts of violence done in the name of God. One of the most notorious acts is the Crusades, where thousands upon thousands were slaughtered by crusaders from Europe who fought under the emblem of the cross. At once it was a symbol of forgiveness, grace, and then became an emblem of war. So it is hardly surprising that there is a growing number of people who have noticed that there is an incredible amount of violence in the world and that it's actually associated with religion. And have therefore come to the conclusion that the name of God is actually a liability to the whole world. That's one of the greatest international struggles and issues of our time. I would like to suggest to you that the misuse of God's name is one of the most urgent issues of our time. And if we come closer to home, still the Christian church has some amends to pay. And the damage that has been done to the reputation of God by religious leaders and that have carried God's name but have brought pain and devastation to vulnerable lives is horrifying. Or the way in which at times the name of God has been attached to frivolous or empty promises, great claims of how you can have anything that you want, and that somehow God has given this all unconditionally to you. The misuse of God's name has led many of the next generation to question Christianity as maybe that's just too selfish to actually be true. How easy it is for some of us to get really enthusiastic about something and then use the name of God to reinforce what really just turns out to be just our idea or our particular thought. And I'm just even thinking about just the inner politics of church or denominations. We've experienced some of that in our own. What today's passage is telling us is that all of these things I've mentioned just now are really offensive to God. God takes this sin of misusing his name personally, and we would do just the same, wouldn't we? I mean, we have lawsuits all about that kind of thing. Honestly, how would we feel if someone else used our good name in the pursuit of an act of violence, or an act that brought great damage to another person, or to promote another idea or something else and make some dollars out of it without your consent? How would that make you feel? Jesus speaks of this sin most powerfully and the most directly in his Sermon on the Mount. We can find these words in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. You don't need to go there right now. But Jesus said, "Not everyone who says, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. On the last day, many will say, 'Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, did we not drive out demons and perform miracles?'" Chapter 7, verse 21, if you are looking. And Jesus said, "I will tell them plainly, go away from me, because I never knew you." So, church, let's be discerning. Don't assume that everything that has ever been said claiming God as an endorsement is somehow the truth of the scriptures. Test by reading the word, because one of the great tragedies of our time is the widespread misuse of God's name. Perhaps one way to think of this and why it is such a serious issue is how a franchise might work in our society. Can we go there for a minute? A franchise means that we are given the right to use a name. And this will bring all kinds of benefits in business, but the condition of using the name is that we appropriately represent the company whose name we bear. So, let's take this name, for example. I don't need to tell you what this represents, do I? I mean, many of us go there for coffee or a breakfast sandwich or just a snack. So let's pretend we get a franchise and we decide to open a McDonald's downstairs beside our preschool. We need some more money. What a great way to earn some. So now we've got the franchise, and so we put the great big red and yellow sign beside our church sign, sorry, Mark, in front of the yard off Kerr Street. And now we're in business. But now we think to ourselves, McDonald's. Mark and Michael and Neil get together and they say, "You know, that's a really good Scottish name. But this isn't much of a Scottish menu. So instead of serving a Big Mac in our McDonald's, we're going to start serving McHaggis burgers. And instead of the usual breakfast menu, we're going to offer oatmeal. And instead of coffee, we'll have large mugs of Guinness." Now, it might be quite possible that we can attract... we might actually be able to attract some business, and we might actually make some good coin off that. But what's going to happen? When our district manager makes a visit and sees what we're doing, and I'm talking about McDonald's, not my even conference minister, I'd get yanked for that one. Someone will be sent from the head office of McDonald's and will tell us that we're using the McDonald's name, might I remind you. And if you're going to use the McDonald's name, we're going to have to use the McDonald's menu. And if we don't use their menu, they will remove the McDonald's name from us. And more than that, for bringing the McDonald's brand into disrepair by serving alcohol to minors in a church, by our different menu, they're going to prosecute us to the furthest extent of the law. That's what they would say. So we can't use the name McDonald's. And if anyone ever does that, even after I go, I will come here and rip it down. So we can't use the name McDonald's to endorse our own thing. And the whole point of today is we cannot use the name of God in the same manner either. If we have today's passage in hand, we're going to see how serious this is to God. Let's take another look at Exodus 20, verse 7, because there's an interesting statement at the end of today's passage, and we don't find it at all on any of the other commandments in the book of Exodus. So take a look up here. "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God." And this is the very interesting part. "For the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Now, misusing the name of God, of course, means misusing the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And this points directly to two other New Testament passages that we'll touch on very briefly. One is in Hebrews, one is in the Gospels. Hebrews 6, verses 4 to 6 says, "It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, and who have fallen away, to be brought back to repentance. To their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace." Oh my goodness, now this is a very difficult set of verses, but you can't avoid them. They make a very simple point. It was written to the Hebrews, which were Jewish believers who had come to faith in Jesus Christ in the first century, and when they came to faith in Jesus, they had been subjected to certain pressures to turn away from their loyalty to Jesus, and then to renounce their faith in him. And the book of Hebrews in the New Testament is written to this group of believers to encourage them to stay the course of faith. Stay the course of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not leave him. The message of Hebrews being, don't go back there to your old ways. Don't go back, because if you renounced your faith in Jesus, there's no other way of being right with God. Turn away from Jesus and you lose everything, the book of Hebrews is saying. For Jesus is the name by which we are saved, the name by which we have peace with God. And if we turn away from the name of the Savior, there is no other way in which we can find peace and reconciliation with God. No forgiveness apart from the person of Jesus Christ. Now, the second important New Testament passage that speaks to this issue is found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verse 28. These are the words of Jesus. He says, "Truly, I tell you, people can be forgiven all their sins and every slander they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. They are guilty of an eternal sin." That's Jesus' words. Now, what was happening when Jesus said this was he had been performing miracles. He had been healing the sick and casting out demons, and nobody could dispute the authenticity of the miracles because they had seen them with their own eyes right before them. And so because they could not deny it, there were some who opposed the Lord Jesus who tried to reinterpret it, trying to make those things mean something else. And they said, "Oh, well, you know what? He's doing it by the power of the devil." And Jesus responds to them by saying, "You know, folks, that is the greatest misjudgment a person can ever make. You have just seen these miracles with your very own eyes, the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And if you turn from that blessing, there is no other way in which you can find hope before God. Forgiveness is utterly impossible if you will not embrace the one who forgives. Without him, you remain in your guilt." And that is the point of today's message. So in order to be free from guilt, we have to make the right use of God's name. And what is the right use of the name of Jesus? Both the Old and the New Testament make this absolutely clear. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever. God offers forgiveness to every person. God offers forgiveness for every sin, including blasphemies against Jesus, including denials against Jesus, blasphemies against the Holy Spirit, misuse of the name of God. There is forgiveness offered by God for every sin. But that forgiveness is offered only in Jesus Christ. Forgiveness becomes ours as we call upon his name. It becomes yours and mine as we make the right use of his name. That is how we become guiltless before God. If we turn away from the very one who created us and the one who's offered himself on our behalf, there isn't another alternative way in which we can find this grace that comes only from God himself. And so as I look at the passages from today, I see how far my own life is from honoring God in every way that I'm called to honor him. And my immediate conclusion is that I need the Savior on a daily, moment-by-moment basis. I am so glad that I can come to him and give him everything that I am carrying, whether it is past hurts or daily problems or issues, someone just pulled right in front of me in traffic, whether it is a major life decision like the decision I shared with you all last week about resigning and concluding our service here at the end of July. I'm so glad that my Savior is there to give me wonderful counsel. He is the wonderful counselor. I'm glad that I can call on the name of the Lord, and he gives us peace when we do, when life's circumstances are difficult. He is faithful and just. I am glad that my Savior is there when I need to respond with grace to hurtful words from another person. All we need is to ask for forgiveness. We all need a Savior. And I'm so grateful that in him my guilt is removed, that there is peace and reconciliation with God through Jesus Christ. Whatever sin is in our lives, whatever dreadful thing that we have said or done, or how often, or at any time, folks, if it continues through the past years of our life, we can call upon the name of the Lord and make the right use of the name of Jesus Christ, and we will be saved. Jesus loves us and cares for us. We will be forgiven, and he will come to us. He continues to pursue us. And we will be pronounced guiltless through the blood of his Son. That is the promise of the good news of Jesus Christ. So if we receive this gift, this invitation into life with Jesus Christ, we then ultimately become bearers of his name. What is it to be a Christ follower? Or a Christian? It is to bear the name of Jesus Christ in this world that we live in, to represent him before others, and to do so in a worthy way. That is one of the greatest challenges and greatest struggles in my life. Thank God for the help of the Holy Spirit to do just that. There is a wonderful statement in the Old Testament. We're going to wrap up very shortly here. It's from the pen of the prophet Isaiah. It comes directly from the mouth of God. God said in Isaiah 52:5, "All day long, my name is constantly blasphemed." Now, this is utterly terrible. It's a tragedy. But what is the answer? This is how God responds to, "All day, my name is constantly being blasphemed." God responds, "Therefore, my people will know my name." God's answer to a world of blasphemes and blasphemers is a community of people who honor his name. So even though we're surrounded by blasphemy, people who want to misrepresent God, people who want to misuse his name, and oftentimes thoughtlessly so, God responds with the church. That's what it means to be a Christ follower, a Christian in community, to be a part of his people. The church in a world that blasphemes his name. For us who have come to find our guilt removed and bear his name so that others may come and see something of his glory in us. That's the challenge, friends. And so I invite you to pray with me if you're willing. And shall we pray as the worship team comes up and leads us in our last song? You pray with me. Father in heaven, this world is in complete confusion about who you are because of the tragic continuing abuse of your holy name. We too confess our responsibility in this. And so for others who see our lives and have not always seen what honors your name, and recognizing that we don't always measure up to today's word, we thank you for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses our guilt. And we call upon you, Lord and Savior. And we thank you that we are able to be guiltless. Because you took our guilt when you died upon the cross. We thank you that when we have faith in you, you give to us the gift of your Holy Spirit so that we may have help and strength to live our lives that really
honors your name. Thank you, Lord. So that in a world where your name is blasphemed all day long, we may be a people who know you and reflect something of your glory to the world around us. We ask all of this in the beautiful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all of God's people together said, Amen.